Is it on? Okay, good. Well, I'm fearfully blessed to be up here this morning to be able to bring you the Word of God. So before I get into it, I just want to pray with you guys. So just let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your Word that gives us so much, it helps us through life. Lord, it's always relevant, never irrelevant to our lives, and I thank you for that it just always can apply, and that if we just look, we can find answers to questions that sometimes seem impossible to answer, or sometimes that we need help with. So Lord, just help me as I preach your Word. Lord, speak through me, and just help us to see what Paul is trying to say through this passage, and I just thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll be reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 7, which was the reading of Scripture. So thank you for that. But before I read it, I just want to kind of put it into context, because I think it's context is key to understanding any passage. And so, first of all, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, or the church of Corinth, and he says it's to the saints. He says, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Archaea, which is verse 1. And so he's writing this letter. He's already written a letter to them in 1 Corinthians, and now he's rewriting to them. And I actually want to then skip over to verses 8 through 11 and read those, because I think that reading those before 3 through 7 helps understand 3 through 7 way better. And so I'm just going to read that quickly and then just give more context to that. So it says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us, you also joining in helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. So this, I think, in this introduction, or this first section, Paul's like just appreciative of the Corinthians for, as it says in the end, praying for them. They were going through, Paul and his companions were going through a hard time. I mean, it says that they had a sentence of death. Like, indeed, we had the sentence of death. So they feared death and thought they were going to die. But they trusted in God, and they got through it. And he was like, thank you for your prayers and the prayers of all who were with us. And that's why I think he wrote 3 through 7 as well, just to, because it's the passage of comfort. And sometimes, I think in some Bibles it says the God of all comfort passage. And I have it as comfort we all need. But it's this passage that speaks about what comfort really does for us and where it really comes from. So if you'll bear with me a little longer, I'll try and explain that a little more. So first of all, when I was younger, when I first got saved, I had a friend, and I had it in my head, because they were going through a really rough time. They were struggling, and they were going through like a lot of family problems, but I thought in my strength that I could come alongside them and help them. I thought I could lead them to a better place, in a sense. And it sadly that doesn't work that way. You can't do it on your own strength. But I tried. The one thing that stuck out to me the most, when every time I tried to help them, whenever they came to me, like they were just like, I wish you'd be more of a friend and just listen, instead of trying to give me all this advice that I know, but I don't need that. I just want someone to listen to me and just be there. And that, it's sad, because it wasn't until later in my life that I realized just what they meant by that. I'm just like, I was actually like trying to do this all in my own strength. I was trying to comfort them in my own strength and give them a comfort from me instead of from God. And so the thing is like, the question is like, we want to help people, But how do we? I tried doing it on my own and it failed. The person got hurt way more. And sadly, we're not friends anymore. So, but how do we comfort? How do we bring comfort if it can't be come from us? I mean, the world has shown us that we can try to find comfort in so many different areas of life, money, drugs, alcohol, stuff like that, even family, but it fails us. And that's and you see it in today's world, the misery that we see around us. And so that's the question I came to when I came to this passage, and thank God Paul answers it. Because the whole point of this passage is God comforts us in suffering. And the 3 points I want us to focus on as I'm going through this is God comforts us in suffering so that we can comfort others, and so that we can endure hardships, and so that we can also have fellowship with each other. And so God comforts us in suffering so we can comfort others. We see this, and I'm going to read verses 3-5 again. So if you'll just read with me here, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ." And so verse 3, just stopping at verse 3 for now, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort." I think this verse kind of is the key verse to keep in mind when reading this whole passage, because he says, Paul is saying, and I like how he uses it, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He emphasizes, and he does it twice in just one verse. He says, God and Father of Jesus Christ, and then the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. For me, that just is nice, because he's not just a God. He's not just an impersonal out there God. He's also a father, and he's a father to many children, as we know, because most of us, if not all of us, are children of God for what we believe and believing in Christ and what he did. So I like the Father of Mercies. I'll get back to the Father of Mercies. I just want to focus right now on the God of all comfort. I like the word, this one word in that those 4 words, which is all. And all means all, and that's all it means. I've heard that saying before. And it's this idea that it's all, like God of all comfort. That means that comfort comes from God. The world tries to find their comfort in other things, but Paul is saying right here that comfort comes from God, all comfort. And so verse 4, and so reading on, it says, "God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our affliction, so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." Now, the question also, and I want us to think about this for a second, is, have you ever known a family or somebody who's lost a loved one, or like a mother or a parents who lost a child, or a child that lost their parents, or a friend that lost a really close friend? I know in my life, I've not lost a friend, I've not lost a parent, and because I'm not married, I haven't lost a child. But, you know, there's that, I don't know that pain. I can't relate, I can't be able to go next to someone and be like, I know what you're going through, I went through the same thing. So that's something I wondered about. It's like, how can I comfort someone if I don't even understand fully what they're going through? I mean, I can hurt with them, but do I really know the hurt they're feeling? And the beauty of this, the verse 4, is it says, who comforts us in all our afflictions so that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. Paul is telling us that we don't have to know what they're going through. When God comforts us in our afflictions, we can comfort people in any affliction. And that's by just because of knowing the fact that comfort doesn't come from us. It comes from God, who we may not understand what the people are going through and how they're suffering, but God does. And that's key to how we can help comfort people and help, we can be a comfort to others through God. And so I just love that. And then verse 5 says, "For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. And this one tripped me up for a little bit, but I realized something. It's obviously in the first half of that, for just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also it says the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance. And so I was like, what is Paul trying to say? So if you want to turn with me to John 15, verse 20, I'm just going to read a little verse and kind of put into more context this idea of Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance. And it says in John 15, verse 20, it says, "Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they keep my word, they will keep yours also." We are never promised a peaceful life that without suffering. Christ says, if I was persecuted, if your Lord, your God is persecuted, you're no greater than you. The slave is not greater than the master. You can't escape that if God couldn't escape that, you know? So there's that sense that, and even Paul, I mean, he says Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance. He even acknowledges, like, guys, you're going to suffer, but don't worry. And then it says after that, it says in the second half, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. So it's not the end, and I love this because what Christ did when he came, what God did when he came to earth as Christ, he suffered for us. But what happened was he suffered, but that suffering, that persecution didn't defeat him. He did when after he was put on the cross and died, he didn't just stay in the grave and then, well, he's dead now, we've lost our Savior and everything. No, as we know, he rose from the dead and overcame that suffering, and that suffering turned into salvation. And we may not have the strength to be able to overcome that suffering, but God, Jesus told us that he would send us a helper, the Holy Spirit, and through the Holy Spirit, he would be with us. And with that, we have the strength to overcome those sufferings, just as Christ did, because he is with us, and he overcame it, and he defeated the undefeatable, which was death. And so that in itself is just beautiful. And that's why Paul is saying, you know, Christ's sufferings are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Because of his sufferings, we are comforted. And so, as I allude to it, he helps us with our hardships. As you read in verse 6, it says, "But if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings with which we also suffer." I thought that was funny. Paul is just like, if we're suffering, you're comforted. But if we're comforted, you're comforted. It's like, it's a win-win. So what do you think of when you think of heroes? Do you think of Batman or Superman or like Spider-Man? You know, that the superpowers and saving the day. I usually think that. I mean, Green Lantern. I like Green Lanterns. If I had to be a superhero, no. But that's not the that. Those are good heroes, but you can't really do the things they do. You can't really, you know. It's nice to think, oh man, I wish I could be like Spider-Man and web sling across New York City, or Superman and fly. But that's the thing. They're fictional. You can't ever do that. But what I want to actually focus on is heroes that we see all around us or hear about. Heroes like a firefighter running into a burning building to save someone, or, and I've heard this story before, a person falling off a platform in a subway station as a subway train's coming, and someone jumps on the track with them and covers them so that they don't get hurt. Those are heroes. And the beautiful thing about those heroes, and especially people like Paul, is they're people like us. And they go through those things, and the beauty of it is that they show us that we can do the same thing. because they're not some superhuman. Paul was not some superhuman that was able to get stoned almost to death and thrown out of a city and walk up and just get up and go back in just because he was some really beefy guy or like really strong guy. No, he was able to do all he did because of God. And those people did it because of just that sacrifice, that self-sacrifice for others. And that's something we can do too. And so this idea of God comforts us in suffering so we can endure hardships, he shows us, Paul shows us, and so many others in history show us that we can make it, you know. That idea of Paul always saying, but if we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation, or if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. He's saying, like, you're probably going to go through the same stuff as us. During Paul's time, the Christians had to have their services in their houses. They didn't have churches. They didn't have buildings. The buildings were their houses, and people ran the risk of getting in trouble because the Jews didn't like them. The Jews were persecuting them. Rome didn't really like them. Rome was persecuting them. They were always going around getting persecuted. I mean, and Paul was being like chased down most times by Jewish Judaizers trying to tell people that Paul was wrong and try to stir up the crowds to kill Paul. So there was that too. But Paul says, you're probably going to go through the same thing, but don't worry. We've already been going through it and we're making it, and so can you. That's the beauty of like heroes that you hear about in the news. They give you that sense of, I can do it too. If they can do it, I can do it too, because they've already done it. It's nothing new. It's nothing that we haven't experienced before, someone hasn't experienced before. There's people around us who have, and we can go to them or look at Paul. I mean, even now, reading this message from Paul, he's comforting us with this message. Even though he has long since been passed away, his messages, his words are still a comfort to those who read them. So that's just testament to God's comfort, how it transcends time, and it's just beautiful. And so it helps us to endure sufferings and tribulations, and also it helps us to have fellowship with one another. And verse 7 says, and our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. And this idea, like he puts, is like we're sharers. But I think it's not just in verse 7 that we see this fellowship. Paul shows us throughout this whole section that fellowship is key. All this time, he's talking to the Corinthians, saying, don't worry, be comforted. Our sufferings are, we're going through sufferings, you're going to go through sufferings, but be comforted. You know, they're that air of fellowship. So I think what Paul is getting at here is we don't have to do it alone. We shouldn't suffer alone. We shouldn't go through life alone. We need each other, because God works through us to each other. And that's the same that goes with comfort as well. I mean, with verse 3 or verse 4 saying God comforts us so we can comfort others. It's almost like a not a command, but kind of like a insinuation that, hey, go and comfort people because you have been comforted. So, but that's the thing. It's God wants us. Paul wanted the Corinthians to understand that, hey, thank you for praying for me. You're being there with me in my sufferings through prayer, because I don't think that they were always with him and praying like side by side, but they prayed with him where they were at. And Paul heard about it. Somebody probably told him, and he was just like, thank you so much. Just because of that, you have comforted me, and you should be comforted too, knowing that we are doing well because of what you've been praying for us. And that is such a key thing to realize, is again the question of how do we help people that we don't know, to how to like really sympathize with fully if we haven't gone through the same things. And that's what Paul is saying. You don't have to. Just prayer, or just being there for someone, a shoulder to cry on, or just to show up and be there in their time of need. That's ways we can comfort people even if we don't know. And God, obviously, it's his comfort, so he will make sure to show them that they're loved through us. And so again, our hope is for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. We as Christians, we need each other. We can't do it alone. I've tried, and I'm sure a lot of us have tried doing it alone, but it wears on us too quickly and too fast. We get to a point too fast where we just want to give up. But as I've surrounded myself with friends and people of other believers, I've been able to do things I never thought I'd be able to do. I've been able to accomplish things I've never been able to think I could accomplish. And it's all because God wants us to build each other up, to comfort each other, to grow each other, as it says, like iron sharpens iron. You know, we have to be there for each other. And again, and I think also looking back into verses 8 through 11, verse 9, it says, indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope. Paul trusted in God and those around him who believed in the same thing he believed in. And there are some times we read in his letters where people walked away from him or heard him that he thought were with him. But for the most part, he always had somebody with him that was stuck with him faithfully, like Luke or Timothy or Barnabas. There was someone always there with Paul, even if most left him. And that was key in Paul's life. He always had someone to be there with him, to keep him going, as well as be there for those people. It's easier to suffer together than alone, because then you have people that can relate with you and grow strong with you. And it makes me think of this image of, like, I've heard so many stories of, like, marriages or friendships when, and a lot of times you hear about the marriages that fall apart because things got tough and they just couldn't deal with it anymore, so they walk away from each other feeling like they don't love each other anymore and stuff. But then you hear about those people that they've made it 40, 30, 20 years, they've made it a long time, and you're like, how do you do it? And they're like, well, it's not easy. it's rough, but we made it through those rough times, and because of that, we grew stronger and closer together. And that's not even just marriage, that's friendships and family as well. If you go through rough times together and you make it, I've heard more than not that you usually come out stronger and closer to those people that you go through that sufferings with. And that's just testimony to the fact that God uses us to strengthen each other so that we can get ready for that next wave of suffering, because we can't escape it, but we can get through it. And I just want you to picture with me for a moment, a little scenario. Just picture with me a moment. There's this little kid in second grade. He's at school, having a good time, but then recess comes around, and he falls and scrapes up his knees and starts crying a little, and some of his friends start picking on him and making fun of him. So he's in pain, he's miserable, people are picking on him. And the day goes by, and as he's getting home, he realizes something as well. To add to this horrible day, he left his favorite toy somewhere on the playground, and he doesn't remember where, and he doesn't have it. And he's just devastated. And these may sound kind of silly, but to a person in second grade, they're like life-changing, like horrible incidents that can happen to them. And so the kid comes home and walks in the door, and the mom sees this look of pain and sadness on the kid's face. And so she asks, "What's up? How is school?" And then the kid just starts breaking down and crying and in tears. Do you think that mother is going to say, "Clean yourself up and do your homework and get ready for dinner"? Most parents would not do that. I mean, we sadly hear in the news that there are some that seem so cruel, but for the most part, that mother, or even that father, if it, will go to that child, sit down with them, ask them what's wrong, hug them, comfort them, tell them it's going to be all right, if we'll go to the school, we'll find your toy, or we'll get you a new one. You know, chances are that they're going to show love to that child, and that child is going to be comforted by that parent. And I mean, the parent's love for their children is a beautiful thing. And just the fact that Paul, I like how Paul, again, I want to go back to verse 3. Paul says, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is a father as well. He's a parent. And we are his children if we believe in what Christ did on the cross for us. We are told that if we believe in his name and what he did for us, we are counted as children of God. God is our Father. And how much more will he love us and comfort us if a mother or a father is willing to, in their limitedness and just sinfulness, be able to show that love to their child as well? How much more can our Father, who's perfect and whose his personality is love and comfort, I mean, it comes from him. We get our love and our comfort from him, so how much more will he comfort us as his children? And I mean, and going back to the Father of mercies as well, what a mercy it was that Christ came and died for us. I've always heard it this way. Grace is God giving us something we don't deserve, and mercy is God keeping us from something we do deserve, and that is death. And God came and showed so much mercy on us. The Father of mercies showed us mercy and gave us grace by giving us a relationship with him. And that's beautiful. And I just want to end with this image. Have you ever seen a lightning bolt going across the sky? Is it only one streak, or is it like multiple streaks? For me, I've seen it usually multiple streaks, and then you see pictures of it, and that's cool. But I think of that, like, how does it look for Christians to share that comfort? And anytime I think of that question, I picture a lightning bolt. It starts at one point, but then it spreads out into this span of like multiple faucets of lightning streaks all across the sky. And I think of that's how God works through us. He sends that comfort through us, and it just spreads. And it's, in a sense, our duty to spread that comfort, because he tells us, comfort others with the comfort I have given you. And so I just think that's a beautiful thing and just a cool thing to think about. So I thought I'd leave you with that image of a lightning bolt. but we can't do it alone. God is our Father. But the scary thing is there's so many people that aren't God's children. There's so many people that don't have complete access to this comfort, this love, this hope we have from God and from what Christ did. And that's why it's key that we go around and make sure to comfort even unbelievers and just share with them where they can get this hope, because there's so many people, even Christians, we lose sometimes that idea of where our comfort comes from, and then we start trying to do it on our own again. I mean, our sinful nature, we want to do it on our own, but then when things get tough, we turn to God. But then once God comforts us, well, let's go and do our own thing again. But no, we need to Paul constantly trusted in God. He even says, you know, we almost were dead, but God rescued us, and we didn't rely on ourselves. We trusted in the hope of God. But if there's anyone who isn't a believer here, or anyone struggling, just it's worth it to have that comfort. As a believer myself, I wouldn't be able to be where I am without God's comfort, and I don't know how I made it 16 years of my life without him, but God was so merciful. And if you don't know Christ, I encourage you to talk to Pastor Tim or me or one of the deacons. We want you to have that same comfort that we have. We want you to enjoy that love and that peace that only comes from a relationship with God, a personal relationship that he wants us to have with him, not just us wanting to have it with him, but he wants us to have it with him. And he made a way. And all we have to do is just believe on his son and what he did. And so That is it. God is a God of all comfort. He comforts us in suffering so that we can comfort others. He comforts us so that we can make it through the hard times, and he comforts us so we can have fellowship. And that's what I think Paul was trying to say through this, was just, thank you, Corinthians, for comforting me. This is what your comfort means to me, and this is how we should always be. And without each other, we won't make it. So let me pray and just thank God for all he does for us. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this, your word. Thank you for your comfort. It just blows my mind. I can't even wrap my head around the fact that you work through so many people and through so many ways to be there for us, Lord. You are our Father. I have felt your comfort. I know many, many people in this room have felt the same comfort. And thank you that you work through us. You don't abandon us to just live on our own, Lord. You work through us to help each other and be a family, Lord, your family. So help us just to continue to just do what Paul says and just comfort others in any affliction with the comfort we got from you, and just trust in you as Paul and his companions did in the midst of hard, perilous times. So Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, and just thank you that you're always there for us. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.